You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. What an interesting week it's been around the world. It's nice to see that people are being freed and being able to return home to their loved ones in the Middle East. That's an amazing breakthrough, and let's just hope that it continues and we get, you know, more peace in the Middle East than we've had for a very, very long time. And then let's move on to Ukraine and Russia, and hopefully, you know, things can change there too, that we can finally get peace in the world. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? So this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week is the Ace of Cups. Now, the Ace of Cups is a very, very gentle sort of card. It's a lovely card. It's the card of security, the offer of a helping hand. Now, look, I mean, there's many times in our lives when I think we need an offer of a helping hand or someone to come forward and just say, everything's going to be okay. Sometimes that's all that's needed, is to somebody to acknowledge the fact that you need a hug, that you need somebody to sort of just be there for you. And sometimes that's all the helping hand that's needed. And then there's other times where we do physically need somebody to give us a helping hand and move forward and sort of suggest to us, this may be the way that we can move forward with the project or the situation that we're in or the family crisis or whatever. But overall, this is usually a very positive card. It's somebody sort of offering a helping hand, usually out of nowhere, somewhere that's unexpected, things that we weren't expecting. And that's a positive thing. I think it's, you know, it's a very apt card for what's going on in the world this week. And with all the crisis in the Middle East, that there'll be a lot of people offering a helping hand to people that are in need and as they start to restructure their life. So it's a really beautiful card to come out. So again, I'm going to say this week is a busy week astrologically, because it seems to be every week. So we've got the sun in Libra. So happy birthday to all the Librans. I have lots of Libran friends and clients, and it's a very special time of the year because it's their time to shine. And it's also a time when I think we sort of, no matter what your star sign is, we all sort of take a little bit of a chill pill. We sort of look at things and say, okay, this is how far we've come. This is what we need to complete before the end of the year. And let's just have a little breather, have a cup of coffee, have a sit down for 5 seconds and sort of just regather everything, sort of look at bringing our lives back into balance. And that's what the Librian energy is about bringing our lives into balance and getting to the truth or to the bottom of the matter, getting to the bottom of things that have been going on for some time, that we can now maybe see it from someone else's point of view. It's sort of, it's a little bit like arbitration. It's sort of, you know, finally coming to a conclusion where all sides can agree. Mightn't have been the outcome that you wanted, but everybody's on the same page and we can now finally move forward. And that's what the Librian energy is about. And I find it a very interesting time of the year because, you know, we've had, you know, busy times of the year. We've had holidays, we've had Easters, we've had, you know, many other events around the world. And it's like we get to this point in the year and it's like, okay, let's rebalance the scales, you know, in our lives, whether it's our health, whether it's our time management, or whether it's just looking at what we've achieved so far this year and what do we have to complete before the final part of the calendar year. So it's a time to sort of regroup, rebalance, catch your breath, have a little bit of downtime, and then we get ready to move forward again. So we have Venus, the planet of love and affection, is sitting in Libra at the moment, not holding hands with the sun, miles away from the sun. But Venus is asking us to sort of really bring some really serene energy into our lives. Now, if you're seeking love, if you're looking for a new relationship, this is the time to get out there and go to places where you feel comfortable, where you feel that you're very much in balance. Now, Venus is the planet of love and affection, and Venus does love comfort and pretty things and things like that, and so does Libra. But it's not necessarily saying you've got to go to the prettiest place in town to meet the love of your life. It's saying get out there, do the things that make your heart sing, things that you enjoy doing. doing. And by doing that, you may just meet somebody that has the same passion for the same activity as you do. You know, if you like going and roller skating, well, then go to the roller skate rink. There's no point in going to the ballet if you can't stand it. You know, you're going to meet somebody there that really is into ballet. So look at the things that you love to do and then start planning your activities around that with the hope that then maybe the universe is bringing forward that next great romance for you. So, you know, not always is it the perfect time for romance. It's a different timetable for each and every one of us. But if we're not out there, we can't meet people. And if we don't get out there, you know, what's the chances of meeting somebody? Look, I know there's dating apps and everything in this modern world. But I'm a little bit old fashioned. I still believe in the chemistry of meeting somebody. And the first time you lock eyes with somebody, that magical connection of, you know, the eyes meeting and the souls connecting. And I'm afraid I don't know that you get that over a screen, but, you know, I might need to be re-educated on that. That's just my personal opinion, but whatever works for you is what you need to be doing. But as I suggest, make sure that you, you know, look for love in the places where you feel the most comfortable doing the activities that you enjoy the most. So we have Mercury, the planet of communication, is conjunct or holding hands, Mars, the planet of action, sitting in Scorpio. Now, this is a very intense sort of conjunction here because Mercury is the planet of communication and Mercury likes to sort of dot the I's, cross the T's, and particularly when it's in Scorpio, it's almost like sort of saying you've had razor blades for breakfast because it can be quite cutting, it can be very hard hitting with Mercury here. Mercury doesn't flower over his words and doesn't pretty them up and put, you know, fairy floss and glitter on them when he's in Scorpio. He's very down to earth. He's very practical. He's very cutting. And as I said, it's like having razor blades for breakfast. They get, you know, Mercury here gets to the truth very, very quickly, and it's not always pretty. So, you know, it's a really difficult time if you need to have a conversation about your relationship. This wouldn't be my suggested time to suggest to you to sit down and have that deep and meaningful conversation, because it could get quite heated very quickly. And particularly with conjunct Mars here, where Mars here is sort of almost combative. It's almost sort of feels like I'm ready to go to war. So, you know, this is not the time to have that conversation in a relationship unless you want a divorce or a separation, and then it's the perfect time. But if you really want to sort of make some milestones or make some ground in the relationship and get the other person to maybe hear your side of the story or understand it from your point of view, and then we start negotiations, this is not the time. This is a time when communication is very hard-hitting. There's no turning back. It's interesting that this conjunction is around the time that we've had the changes in the Middle East, because it means that there wasn't really any wriggle room there. It was like, this is what I want, this is what I expect, and this is what's going to happen. And both sides had to sign off on it. And both probably sides had their own demands and their own needs or things that they were requiring to get to this point. So it's interesting that it's happened under this sort of cycle. I know that this negotiation in the Middle East has been going on for some time, but this is interesting that it's all culminated around the same time. So moving on, we have Jupiter, the planet of expansion and opportunity, is still sitting in Cancer, will be for the next couple of months. So this has been a real time for all the water signs, particularly to sort of expand their horizons, look at new opportunities, do something different. So it's been a sort of a time here where water signs being Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces, and the opposite sign of Capricorn, it's been a time there where that they can really sort of expand their opportunities. For the rest of us mere mortals, it's just gently washing over us with maybe not quite as much expansion or opportunity as for the water signs and Capricorn, but certainly there's opportunities there for all signs at the moment. If you really look around, it's not necessarily going to come out and jump out at you straight away. You have to really sort of look for the changes that are there, and you've got to make your own luck. It's like, you know, you've got to ferret around and look for the opening and then make that happen for you. It's not going to be handed to you on a plate. So we have Uranus, the planet of the unusual and unexpected, is sitting in Gemini at the moment. Now, this is making a really nice aspect, which is known as a trine, to Pluto in Aquarius. Now, Pluto has been going retrograde for some time now. Pluto is now sitting stationary. What that means is not going backwards and he's not going forwards, but he's getting ready to go forward again. Now, again, I'm going to tie this aspect into the Middle East because Uranus is the planet of the unusual, the unexpected, things that happen out of nowhere, like the bolt of lightning striking the ground. in the sign of Gemini, this is great communications. This is talking. This is sort of looking at local issues. This is really sitting down and having conversations and sort of, you know, not necessarily not serious negotiations, but it's a time where negotiations are very clear. Everybody's listening. Everybody's looking at it from the other point of view and sort of saying, right, this is the time. Let's strike a deal. Now, particularly with it trining Pluto, Pluto sitting in Aquarius. Now, Pluto is the planet of transformation. Pluto sort of is slow, deliberate, and definite. Pluto's lessons are very slow lessons. They're lessons that we learn and we learn them thoroughly. We don't sort of, it's not a sudden situation. A lesson from Pluto is something we never forget. Now, the fact that it's in Aquarius is asking us to think outside the square, is that we have to find solutions in a completely different way to the way that we struck them before. And this is why I'm relating this to strongly to what's just happened in the Middle East, because it's come out of nowhere. Even though it's been talked about for a time, nobody really knew that it was going to be really going to happen. And when it did, it was like the bolt of lightning. It happened fast. Negotiations moved. You know, people were released and sent home to their families, things that people only dreamed of that never thought could happen. So this is a really amazing thing. For the rest of us, it is affecting the air signs, which is Gemini, Aquarius, and Libra, and the opposite sign of Sagittarius. So if you're in one of those four signs that I've just mentioned, you need to be aware of there could be things happening suddenly outside of your control too in your personal life. It could be around work, it could be around family, it could be around anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative, doesn't necessarily have to be something that's going to change the complete course and direction of your life unless you want it to, but it's asking you to think outside the square. Things that used to work in the past don't necessarily work now. We've got to find new solutions. We've got to look for new avenues. You know, if you're happy in your job, then maybe there's a different way of approaching the job. If you're looking for a new job, then maybe you've got to think outside the square and look for something very, very different. It's a time here where we can sort of really expand our horizons. Now, for all the other signs, it is washing over you, but maybe not quite to the same degree. It's asking you to be aware. Things can happen out of nowhere. It is literally like the bolt of lightning striking the ground, that things can happen very quickly. You're not necessarily going to be able to predict what's going to happen. It's asking you to have a fresh approach to things. Think outside the square. Look at doing something differently. What can I do that isn't just going in the same, putting my feet in the same holes, going around the same racetrack? I've got to get on a new path. And this is really important. And for a lot of people, that's scary. It's sort of like what's familiar, even if it's not working, is more comfortable than branching out into something new and going into unknown territory. Because we don't always understand or know what to expect from that. So therefore, oh, well, it's easier to just take the path that we already know. But you're being asked to shake things up. You're being asked to sort of look at things in a different way. I mean, you know, we're well and truly into the 2020s. So we need to be sort of looking at some fresh, innovative, new ideas to look at how we're going to approach the next 20 or 30 years of our lives. And if we look back over the last 20 odd years, we look at the innovations in technology and things like that and how fast things have moved since, you know, we all became internet savvy and things like that. And I mean, that was only 20 odd years ago. And look at, you know, we've got AIs and we've got all these other wonderful tools in our toolkit these days that we never dreamed of 25, 30 years ago. So this is what I'm saying. You know, we've all got to move with the times, even if we don't particularly like some of the changes that are going on around us. It is part of the environment that we're living in, and we need to be able to be ready to do that. So look at how Uranus may personally affect you, no matter what your star sign is. Look at what is it asking you to do? What is it asking you to communicate about? What is it asking you to understand or learn or study or whatever that can then bring some transformation into your life? It's asking you to think outside the square. You know, don't just do what's always been easy or what's comfortable to you. Look at shaking it up. What can I do that's different? What can I do that can enhance my life? Is there something that I might need to learn or something I need to change? And it's not asking you to completely change. It's not asking you to go and get a complete new wardrobe and a new hairstyle. It's asking you to think about how you approach your life. It's asking you to think about what you can do maybe differently in your life that will get you to where you want to go. And you know, you mightn't find the answers today. It may be a work in progress. It may take some months, and that's okay. But just be aware that there might be some flashes of brilliance that come to you when you least expect it. So make sure you got your cell phone handy, that you can leave yourself a little voice message about, you know, what brilliant idea just came into your mind, or have your pen and paper with you. You know, it's going to come at random times. It's not always going to come at the most convenient time. So that's why I suggest have something ready that you can jot down the idea so that we don't lose it. We're going to take our first call. Is Melissa in Peoria in Illinois. Are you there, Melissa?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, Melissa?
I'm just wanting to know, like, I guess, like, am I ever going to find a partner, a man, a love, true love? I don't know. Just I want to know if I'm going to be finding that.
Well, it's a very good question, Melissa. It's a question I get asked often. And, you know, you're not alone in wanting to find that someone special to share your life with. The energy that they're sharing with me around you from your soul, Melissa, is the fact that you're not fussy. I want to be very clear on that. You might think that, or some of your friends have said to you, oh, stop being so fussy. You know, like, how you expect to attract somebody when you've got such a strict list of what you want and what you don't want. I'm going to say to you, you can never be too fussy. You know, why accept something that isn't what you want? You know, you don't go and buy a red dress when you want a blue one. So why would you do the same thing when you're looking for a relationship? We all have an idea, or a general idea, of what we need, what we'll accept and what we won't accept in a relationship. And I think we need to stick to that. It's interesting because they're showing me that on a soul level, this time being on your own was very important. It was a time for you to really get to know who Melissa was. There was too much of you that you were giving away to other people. You were always there for everyone else, helping everybody else in their life, but you never gave to Melissa. And you've now learnt to say, no, hang on a minute. No, that doesn't suit me. I'm not going to get involved in that. The answer is just no. And that was a really big one for you to learn, was it not, Melissa?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why nobody special has come forward, because we had to get you to put yourself in the driver's seat and be the most important person in your life. What does Melissa want? What does Melissa want to go and help Mary over there do the laundry? No, not today. Goodbye. And, you know, you had to become that tough. And it was hard for you to do that because you were always so used to giving so much that, you know, now that you've learned to give to yourself, now we can attract the right sort of person that can stand by your side, that isn't expecting you to prop them up, fix them up, or make them a better person. They're somebody that's your equal, that they're standing by your side, and they're there to say, hey, Melissa, do you need a hand? Gee, that's a novel idea, isn't it? Somebody asking you, do you want a hand, instead of the other way around. So, yes, to answer your question, there is going to be someone new coming in. I'm going to say before the end of this year. And I think when you do meet somebody, there's going to be two that are going to come in around the same time. All of a sudden there's been nobody, and all of a sudden I've got two really nice gentlemen here that, you know, that you're going to start to go out with. Both of them have got brown hair, one slightly darker than the other. Now, it's the one that's got the slightly darker hair and is slightly taller. And look, I'm only talking by an inch or two. And I actually think he's the second gentleman that you meet. He's the one I feel the more comfortable with for you. Look, they're both really nice. They've both got jobs. They're both nice men. They've, you know, both got reasonable, you know, finances behind them, things like that, no baggage, or, you know, their baggage has been sorted out from previous relationships and things like that. So it's almost like splitting the atom when I look at the two of them and say which one, in my opinion, is the better for you. But to me, it's the taller one with the slightly darker hair. To me, it's like, I finally found the other half for you. That's how I feel with this gentleman. They never give me names. They never give me star signs. But I know that both of them are going to meet through friends. And it's sort of like all of a sudden these friends of yours, you know, might be people you move in different circles with, have all of a sudden got this wonderful person they want you to meet. You know, it's like, well, I've been sitting here on my own for forever, and now all of a sudden they're coming out of the woodwork. Look, go out with anybody that somebody suggests. You can always, you know, get a headache and go home if you don't like them. You know, you can always find an excuse. But I think it's interesting that the fact that, you know, you meet these two guys, You go out on about three dates with both of them before you decide on the one that you feel is right for you. And it's like, well, you owe neither one of them anything. You know, like you're just dating somebody isn't an exclusive. You're testing the water to see whether or not this is what you want and whether it's what they want. But I know when you decide on the man that you want to pursue and get to know better, things will move at a reasonable pace then. But he's really nice. He's got a nice energy about him. He does a lot of singing, and I'm not going to say that let's put it this way, it wouldn't be his profession. You know, he likes to sing and he's a little bit out of key, but it's lovely. You know what I mean? But we wouldn't put him in a band. But he's a very neat and tidy guy. He dresses very well. My only little criticism is he has a very sweet tooth. He's sort of more interested in what's on the dessert trolley than he is on what's on the main menu. That could be a little bit of an issue for him. I mean, not that I think he's overweight. He's not. But I'm just sort of thinking that, you know, you've got to have a balance in your life. You know, you've got to have protein and veggies as well as dessert. So that might be something you need to keep an eye on because, affects your teeth and your health if you have too much sugar. But look, I think he's lovely. He'll never forget your birthday. He's very attentive. And the relationship moves at a nice pace. And it's nice to meet a well-mannered man that, you know, has been brought up properly, that, you know, really likes you and is pleasant and polite and doesn't forget your birthdays and all those sort of things. He's really lovely, Melissa. And I know that the two of you are going to form a very solid union. I'm not sure whether marriage is what the two of you are looking for. It's whatever you two want, whether it's living together or whether you just want to get, you know, legally married. That'll be your choice. But let me assure you, it is a solid commitment.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, and he's a lovely, lovely man. So I look forward to hearing from you, Melissa, when you meet him.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So that's where we're going to leave Melissa. We're going to talk with Laurie in Elizabethton in Tennessee. Are you there, Laurie?
Yes.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, sweetie?
Probably, do I have any messages from loved one that's passed away or something like in general?
Okay, sweetie, they don't necessarily come through unless they particularly want to come through. It's easier for me if you fire a question at me. And if somebody wants to chime in from the other side, I will certainly pass on their message. But they don't just queue up and say, oh, gee, I've got a message for Laurie. Can you pass this on? Because they're busy on the other side, you know, organising things for you and sort of doing stuff. So it's easier for them to sort of say, oh, well, Laurie's asked, you know, can I buy a new car? And they'll chime in then if they feel it's appropriate. Or whatever your question might be.
Okay. Well, I guess could ask about dating.
Can you repeat that for me, sweetie?
How about someone if I will meet someone?
Oh, if you'll meet somebody as far as a new relationship, is that your question, Laurie?
Right, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Really interesting, because what I'm picking up is that there's two females chiming in from the other side, and I'm assuming by the way that they're sort of being a very authoritarian, as if they were grandmothers or great-grandmothers. Are both your grandmas gone?
Yes.
Yeah, because I've got two what I would term as mature women that have got a real definite opinion. Is that your grandma's?
I'm not really sure. I just lost my sister yesterday morning.
Right. Oh, well, I'm sorry for your loss. It'd be way too soon for that person to come through. But I've got two more mature women that sort of, I wouldn't say were close friends here on earth, but they're coming together united as if to say, well, we've got this in the bag. We've got this sorted out. Laurie sort of needs to just sort of start thinking about herself a little bit more. And obviously with the loss that you've had yesterday, there's a lot of activity that's going to go on in the coming weeks. while we, you know, go through the process of, you know, going through funerals and things like that. But what they're showing me is around late November is that there's somebody coming back into your life, and this is a person from your past. Now, it's somebody, I'm going to say, that you never had a relationship with as such, but somebody you knew, or somebody you went to school with, or somebody you worked with. It's somebody from your past. And they're saying to me, this is the last person on earth that you would have ever thought that you would have re-met up with and had any sort of romantic sort of feelings towards, or even looked at them and thought, gee, he's handsome, and they're giggling about it. And these women are normally quite serious, and, you know, but they're having a little bit of a giggle, like, you know, teenage schoolgirls, because they find it so amusing, because they've been sitting up there sort of watching you sort of try and work out what it is that you wanted out of your life and where your life was going. And they're sort of saying, but you keep going around in the same circles. It's like, you know, we've got to get her off that same racetrack. We've got to get her onto a new path. And with bringing this person back into your life, they think this is the new path, is putting you back into a new path by bringing someone back into your life that you never had any romantic inclination for, couldn't have even told anybody what they looked like, let alone any interest in them. But it's magic, you know, from the time that the two of you meet, and it'll be a random thing, you know, you'll both be out doing errands or something like that, standing in a bank queue, and that's where you meet. And, you know, then you start to realize then that you've known each other from the past. This will end up being quite a substantial relationship for you, but it's going to be very slow growing. You've got things that you still need to sort of work through, and things that are going on around the family, and, you know, that's not all going to be sorted out next week. And he has some things in his life too that he needs to sort out. But by the time we get to about February next year, everything is going along really, really well, and the relationship is really gaining traction, and the two of you are really sort of starting to talk about what could be ahead for the future for the two of you if the relationship continues to grow. And that's good. He doesn't live very far from you. I think he's just going to have moved back to the area when you meet him. So, you know, he won't have been back in the area more than a couple of weeks, which is nice. So, but there's, you know, there's a lot of emotion for you to go through in this next few weeks with, you know, the sad loss that you've just had, you know, in the last 48 hours. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to take your attention. So I just want you to stay strong, Laurie, and understand that sometimes things happen that are out of our control. Anyway, that's where we're going to leave Laurie. Where, you know, it's always difficult when you lose somebody and you sort of want to know if they're okay. It, you know, 24, 48 hours is way too soon for them to sort of make any sort of connection, in, as far as I'm concerned anyway. You know, they need a little bit of time to adjust to the fact that they've gone before they're ready to come through with a message. And not always is everybody ready to come through. It's a hit and miss situation, because it's up to them. It's not up to us, because just because we want the connection, they may not want to connect. And that's something we have to respect. So this week I'm going to leave you with a very, very old song. And it's one that sort of always makes me smile. It's sort of, I think of this song and I think of being young and free and single and a teenager and having a lot of fun. And it was just a very, very fun movie. And it's one of those movies that has gone down in history that I think everybody's seen it at least once. I've seen it about 1,000 times because it was one of my daughter's favourite movies as she was growing up. And it was always, you know, playing on our VCR and then later on DVD and now on Blu-ray. But, you know, it's something, you know, she's a lot older now, but she still loves this movie, as a lot of people do, and know the music from the show that I'm going to talk about. We're talking about the one and only Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, and You're the One That I Want. So until next week, we'll see you then. You're the One That We Want. Bye for now.